All right. Okay, so Raiders of the Lost. We're going to start with scripture in Luke 12, verse 6 through 7, if you have your Bible or iPhone or neighbors, this you can just listen to. And Jesus is talking about value, because today I'm really going to be talking about treasure, Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was always in search of treasure. And some things you can't really put a price on, but here's something I want to read. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten by God? Little sparrow, five of them. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, even if you're bald. You still have follicles in there, you know what I'm saying? So don't be like, oh no, I'm in trouble. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Say more value than many, many sparrows. Okay, so I have this little garment, you know, and this is, it's a sad little thing. It says a star is born at Mon General Hospital. They must have had budget cuts the year Eden was born. It's kind of sad little piece of fabric here. But it's from 1996, and you know what? You can't buy this from me. Mm-mm. There's no amount of money I'm going to get. She tried it on last night. It doesn't fit. Yeah, it doesn't fit her anymore. I think we got it around her bicep. Yeah. So, but you can't, this is worth too much for me to sell, you know? And anyway, she'll try it on later maybe. Okay, so I don't know if you guys are like me, but I like to watch the Antique Roadshow. And the interesting thing is you have all kinds of stuff. Like, you don't know what it's worth or anything. You just bring it in, and then they appraise it for you. Like, this stuff's old, you know. Just anything you have old, bring it in. I don't think Shelly's here today, but she knows about stuff like that. And then they give you the value, the appraisal of what they think that it's worth. The interesting thing is it could be worth a lot of money, but it's really not worth anything if someone's not willing to pay for it, right? So the cost is really attached to what are you going to pay? And so when I think about that Jesus, we're more valuable, there's another scripture that kept coming to my mind, and it's in Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 29. Let's see who can get there first. Mark 12, verse 29. Got it. I won. Oh, pastor beat me. Darn. He's so darn smart. All right. So Mark 12. And Jesus' couple lawyers are asking him some questions, I believe. Or maybe they're scribes, I'm sorry. And they're talking about commandments. Like, hey, they're trying to get to the bottom line here. Which command? I mean, there's all these commandments. Can you just, like, read? They're totally bottom line people. Bottom line this for me. What's the two most important ones? Because I don't want to be thinking about all these commandments. I ain't got time to be thinking about 10 of them. Just give me two of the bottom line ones. You got that right, sister. First of all, the Lord says, "Hear, O Israel, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. The second one is like it. It is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There is no greater commandment greater than these. So I want to camp on the 31st, and the second like is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, Emmy was really talking about what Jesus really meant there, because he's talking about in Leviticus, there's a passage about loving people who need to be fed. If you're fed, then you should look to see who needs to be fed. So when Emmy's talking about missions and even our neighbors next door, that's really what that means. However, I'm not trying to twist scripture or anything, but I'm thinking, if you can't love yourself, how do you love your neighbor? Some of us love our neighbor's dog better than we love ourselves. Some of us mistreat ourselves. And so when we're talking about value and we're talking about worth, where do we look to find out whether we're valuable or worth anything? How do we find that out? How do we know what we're worth truly? A lot of times what we'll do is we'll take a mirror, you know, we don't actually give people mirrors, but we'll hold that mirror up. Okay, Terry, tell me who I am. Tell me, am I worth anything? Am I, you know, what? And then whatever Terry says is who I am. See? So if you have you're a very nice daddy, but what if he's not a very nice dad? Here, hold that. And I look, tell me who I am, Dad. I'm like little. I'm just a little person. So tell me who I am. Am I worth anything? Yeah, now he says that. But what if you were a broken man? Would you say that to me? What if you said I was something else? What would you say if you were broken? You probably can't even go there. Say you're stupid, you're dumb. I prayed for a little boy this week, and his daddy said he was stupid and dumb. So don't act like it doesn't happen, because it does. But we're whole and we're healed. It's easier to repair, heal a child than it is to repair a man, right? So when we're talking about our value and our worth, I want to think about the fact that how do you know you're valuable? What's the mirror that we look in? We give people a lot of power over our lives. And, you know, I've actually recently been challenged with this. Just recently. That's why we're on this topic. Because true treasure is what God says about us. Nobody can value us more than he's already valued us. And if we give people that level of power over us, if you give him power over you as a husband and wife, you're destroyed, right? You have to look into, can I borrow this? You have to hold this up and look in this, because we're frail. We're broken people. We make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say, right? And so if that becomes your truth, you're in big trouble. This has to be your truth. So here's what you guys already made this decision for me. You pretty much cleared it up. You basically told me that true value is what you're willing to pay, correct? It's how much I can say that this little, I don't even know what this little iron thing, I don't know, maybe Laura Ingalls had it. I'm not really sure. Going once, going twice, come on. Was bid starting at 100,000. Come on. We have 75. We got 75,000 in here. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I have no idea. But what if this was worth $50,000? Thank you. Eleanor sold. Just make it out to Laurie, LAU. 50,000, but if someone's not willing to pay for it, is it really? So let me tell you something. According to what Jesus has done for you, he paid a great cost. If you look at it like that, what he paid for you was a great cost. He paid it all plus more. He could have just come. All we need was remittance of sin, he could have just showed up and in 3 or 4 hours or maybe one day taken care of that, or 4 days. But he didn't. Think about it. God Almighty sent him on the most amazing rescue mission known to man. Talk about incognito. I mean, our special ops forces have nothing on this. God's great radical love sent his son, Almighty God's son, as a seed to be as incognito into a womb of an engaged young woman in the Middle East. I don't know about you, that blows my mind a little bit. That's radical love. That's radical love. So then Jesus submits himself to the whole process of humanity. The whole process. Not just to die for our sins, but to understand us, to relate to us, to suffer for us, to understand what it is to be tempted, to understand what it is to be betrayed, to understand what it is to be mocked and ridiculed. He walked all the way through that. And when it was time, then it took a man to get us to that place. Let me read this because I like how it's written. Okay, so listen. It took the sin of Adam to separate us from God. And it would take the death of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, to restore us and bring us back to God. We cannot look to people as mirrors to tell us of our value or worth. We must look to his word, to God's true reflection of his great love for you. What are you worth? You're worth everything plus. What are you worth?
Everything.
What are you worth? You're worth everything.
Plus more.
Yeah, I want you to really say it. You're worth
everything.
Plus
more.
Come on, third section. There, I like that. Amen. So the first part of being a raider of the lost is to know your own value and worth. The second part to be a raider of the lost is you need to be a prospector. You need to be a prospector. Can I have two volunteers? Two volunteers. Two volunteers. I'm looking over here. Two volunteers. All right, Anna, come on. No, they have to volunteer. Emmy. All right, Anna and Emmy. Anna, you're awesome. I already connect with you, girl. Okay, let's come over here for so these guys get a little entertainment. Come on over here. Can everybody see them? Okay, Anna and Emmy. Okay, Anna's getting a... Okay, so this is a $20 bill, right? So what's it worth? $20. And this is a cup of dirt or a jar of dirt. What's it worth? What's it worth? Emmy, open it up. What's yours worth? Anything in there? Just dirt. You sure about that? Emmy says, here, come over here so these guys can see. Emmy says, come over here, Anna, that all she sees is dirt in there. What's a prospector do? Digs down deep. Dig down a little deep in there, sister. Not with your gum. Oh, with your ring. What do you see in there, Emmy? What you got, girl? Tell us. Next time, don't worry about dirt on the floor. I personally will vacuum it up. Come on, we're talking about digging down deep for people.
$20.
Okay, bring it over here on the table. Stand behind the table, ladies. Okay, so what is worth more? Anna's? Let's take a vote here. Anna's or Emmy's? Why are they the same? They're the same value. Which one, if I had a $20 bill laying on this table and I said, Eden, go ahead and come up and get your money for the toll booth on your way. Which one do you think would be tempted to pick? Always. Me too. I think in this day and age, thank you, ladies. Wait, take the smarty because you're so darn smart. Yeah, the money's not. That's Nick Haywood's job. That's not when he preached. This is actually Eden's toll and gas money, for real. For real. So I'm the same way. I'd much rather have a nice $20 crisp bill than this. We're definitely going to have to clean this up, honey. Okay? But we're living in a day and age where the Lord wants us to dig down deep. And a prospector, my new show that I watch, you know how I always watch shows on TV? Yeah, Prospectors is on the Weather Channel. And the interesting thing is that anybody could be one. They just have to have a love for it. So you have the Colorado Rockies, the whole Colorado Rockies, and then they climb up there and then they start removing boulders and rocks and debris. All right. They start moving boulders and rocks and debris. And the interesting thing is when you look at the Rockies, you don't know what's within it. When Emmy saw the jar, all she saw was dirt. She didn't think there was anything within it. And so when they look at the Rockies, they only see rock and debris and rubble. But if when they get up there, they start removing the boulders, they start removing the debris, they start removing the stones, and guess what's in there? There's aquamarine in there. There's jade within there. There's rare crystals within there. Within the mountain. But when you look at the mountain, all you see is a lot of work. That looks like a lot of work. I don't feel like getting my, like my hands are dirty now. And they weren't dirty before. Now they're dirty. Now I got to go clean this thing off and I got dirt on the table. And this is messy. And this is so much better. Like my hands aren't that dirty now. But this is messy. And we have to dig and we have to go down deep. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to remove the debris, the rubble, because you're valuable. Because you think, well, no, I'm not. I'm not valuable at all. I'm this crinkled up. But that's not true. And we are in the book Unshockable Love, it talks about being mud removers. That's part of our job in the body of Christ, is to remove, help people move the boulders off of their lives and get them to the place where the Lord has desired them to be. Did you know that He can take the crooked places and make them straight? Do you know that a stream can come out of the desert? The Lord already gave us a song before the message even started to tell you that you can be in a desert right now. But guess what? Through Jesus Christ, streams of living water can come up. No matter what hopeless situation you're in, streams are in the desert. And that's impossible. That's really impossible. So when I was at camp, There was a young girl who had been adopted from a foreign land by a pastor and his wife, and she was one of our Soul Fire teens. And she was prayed for one night, Monday night, and she was really touched by a song, "He Knows My Name." And it talks about He knows my tears. He knows all these things. And she'd been to camp. She'd been in the church her whole life. And she was adopted. Did I say she was adopted at an older age? So I don't know what God did. I just know God did. I can't see the wind, but I sure can see the trees moving. Well, I could see him on her life, and we stood by her and prayed for her. I don't know what was happening, but I could see by watching her that the Lord was doing something. And she was weeping and weeping and weeping in the arms of people for a very, very long time. And the Lord was removing all of the shame, all of the pain. I didn't even know what was happening, but I knew something was happening. Later that night, she told us that she had a moment with God that she never, ever had in her whole entire life. She had never known the Father's love. And for some reason, in that little camp in Hanover, Pennsylvania, God decided to break through, pull her up out, shake her off, wash her clean, and she shared with us that she had been abused. That was Monday night, and I hesitated even doing that song that night because it was pretty deep and took things really deep really fast, and I questioned myself about whether I should have done that or not the whole night. You can ask Eden. The next day, that's all I heard about, because we had a badge. We were telling people they were God's most wanted, and I was presenting it as your Father in heaven telling you are God's most wanted. So when you look at that badge, that's what it's saying. But it took it in a different direction. I wasn't sure if I did the right thing. But the whole next day, that's all I heard people saying. That's what ministered to them the most. And that was also what I got attacked about the most. So funny enough. She took that, and the whole entire, that happened on a Monday. The whole rest of the week, she became a prospector. She became a prospector for all the other campers, other leaders. This was probably what she was looking like for some, but all week long, she kept digging and helping people get free. And she was drawn to people without them even saying a word to her. Everyone she prayed for was from abuse. You can't make that up. You can't make that happen. That's the Holy Spirit. And that little gal was quiet behind the scenes. I'd see her swimming in the pool. I'd see kids sitting on her lap falling asleep at, like, in the middle of the day because they're tired. I mean, she prospected all week long. So what I'm saying is we need prospectors. We need people to be a prospector, to dig down deep, first in yourself and then in others. I'm going to tell you one more story. Well, I have a couple more, but I have one more. There was a guy, I'm going to call him Lucas, and he's from a friend of mine's church. He was a junior leader this year, and he's only been saved for less than a year. He's moved here from El Salvador. Drug addiction is very big in his family. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of violence. And he was his junior leader. And the first thing that, his name's Pastor Troy, but we call him PT, very good friend of mine. He said, he's actually from Capital Church. He said, I want you to look at Lucas. Keep your eye on him. I want him to meet you. I'm like, I guess I want him to meet you guys. Basically what he's saying to me, I think we need to stake our claim. Because when you're prospecting and you find a place and it has all the signs that are pointing to it, and you're digging around and you're starting to find a little crystal here and a little crystal here. And, oh, I found a little aquamarine. Oh, we got, this is where we dig. I don't run all over the mountain. I go to where God has assigned me to go, and I stake my claim because there's something in there. And so the very last night, I mean, we just loved him in practical ways. We invited him to meetings. One of the ladies that was with me is just a super mom. I call her Mom MacGyver because she just is. You just say, hey, do you have a pink chainsaw? She goes, yeah, I do. Awesome. How about an orange one? No, I got orange and black and pink. Which one do you want? And I'm not even joking. She had it all. And she loved on him all week. Gave him her, it was around her son's age, and she fed him. And we just loved on him. The very last night, I saw that he was, everybody was kind of closing the service, and it was moving on. And I felt drawn to him, and PT and I prayed for him. And it was as if he had a giant boulder. In fact, it was me and maybe PT and two other people. And it was like we were picking up that boulder for him. And we were picking it up together. And it was too big for him. It was too big. There's boulders that you have in your life that are too big for you to take off yourself. You need the body of Christ. You need us. We need one another. We need some prospectors that can help me remove the boulder, remove the debris. And as we did, this 20-year-old man crumbled and wept in my arms like a baby, because that was the point of his wounding. And God has a great call on his life. And if he has a deep wound that big and that deep, it's like blood in the water for a shark. We have an enemy that roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In modern days, we can say we have an enemy swimming by us, looking for blood in the water, seeking whom he may devour. And we have to love one another enough to help them move those heavy pieces so that the love of God can come in. He sent us all a text the next day, said he never felt God's love like that before. He thanked us all. Later that night when I got home, he said, consider me your son. I didn't take that lightly either. He said, consider me your son, ... Under that, please don't forget me. My next text was not a chance. The next text from him was, will you come to my orientation when I go to Ignite? He felt called to go into ministry, which would be a great place for him. I'm like, I will do everything I can to be there. And so I think we're going to see great things come from that young man. There's lots of great mentors in his life. But we all have boulders. And you know, I would never have been able to reach down and dig deep into Lucas's life had someone not reached down into mine. And it would take me like days to tell you all the boulders and debris. And it's not even about that anymore, because we're a new creation. That's all passed away. But you will be anointed for the thing that you're willing to let God heal you in. You will. We had a little prospector. My gosh, she just got healed like on Monday. Next thing you know, the Lord's already touching her life and she's making a difference and she's digging deep and helping people remove all kinds of boulders and debris. The third thing that we want to do when we want to be a raider of the lost is we want to be a tomb raider and a grave robber. I just like saying that. We want to be a tomb raider and a grave robber, because the enemy has God's treasure. He has God's people. His great value, his treasure is being robbed and is stuffed in some kind of ancient tomb of the enemy. And God is asking us to be Indiana Jones and go and rescue it. I don't know about you, but in the movie Indiana Jones, he does all this crazy stuff. Snakes, bats, rats, giant rocks. And he finally gets it. You know, he does that trick where he's like trying to weigh it out, and then he gets it, and he dies all these arrows, and he makes it out, and right when he gets out, there's like a gun to his head. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? And some evil man with some evil laugh says, thank you, Dr. Jones. I will take care of that for you. And he's really saying, I'm going to sell it for lots of money. And Indiana Jones has this crazy line that kind of doesn't make sense, but it does. He's like, that belongs in a museum. I don't know if you remember that, but it's like random. Like, hey, give that back. That belongs in a museum. God's people need to be not in a museum, but they need to be on display. There are people that are in catacombs and tombs and deep, dark places and horrible, stinky places. And God says, I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to be shocked by their condition. I want you to enter in there and grab them and pull them out. Well, you know, I can preach that really good, but you know, I was challenged to live it this week and I didn't fare so well. Yeah, got another camp story. I'll end with this story. So it was Tuesday night. Monday or Tuesday night, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and it was Tuesday night. And there was a group of little boys, four of them. They were like skater guys. They weren't that old, actually. They were way older in their brain than they were in their image. They were way older than they were. And so their leader, Patrick, was a new leader. He brought them forward. They were in the back, and then he decided to bring them forward during worship time or during the ministry time. And so I was just heading in their direction. And there was a young boy who, his parents are pastors, a very small church. And this little boy just loves ministry. Here's a freebie for you. They have such a small church that they don't have a children's ministry. So his sister and him were very well trained. So anytime ministry was going on, they were all up in it. They're all up in it, putting their hands on people, having words, being prophetic, confronting other children, praying for them. It was awesome. I was like, seriously, I didn't even know what to do with it at first. So he was my favorite. You know, I just really liked him. I don't know. He was all boy. I mean, he did dumb stuff like kids do. But he was like brilliant on the ministry aspect of life. And so we were praying. He and I were standing next to these four boys. And so Josiah stuck his hand out to pray for them. And when he did, they began mocking us. I'm not talking mocking us. Like straight up mocking us, mocking our singers, mocking people. I mean, there are people weeping and they're like, oh, look at them all. Oh, like it was intense. I mean, I should probably really do it for you so you can really get the feel of what I was doing. They're like, oh, pray for me, pray for me. And they're crying and pointing to people. I mean, it wasn't them, but I treated it like it was them because this little PK kid is pouring his heart to pray for him and they're literally mocking him to his face. What does that sound like? But at the time, do you see, cognitively, I'm not catching it. I'm like in protective mode. How dare you mock my Jesus? How dare you mock our sinners? They were like making fun of her singing the song. And how dare you? Like, I'm Jesus's personal PR person. You know, sorry, no mocking here of Jesus. And so, you know what I did? I said, you know what? If you guys are going to mock and do that, you can go back and sit down. It's fine. You don't have to be up here. Because I felt like they were kind of made to be up here. I'm like, you don't have to be up here. And then Patrick, you know, I could tell your wheels are already turning. So then Patrick, the leader, says, hey, I don't really know what to do with them. I just thought maybe if I just brought them up here. He said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because I thought I did the right thing. So I walk away like, hey, I took care of those mockers. I took care of them, Jesus. Don't worry. Your reputation still stands strong. They're sitting down back there. And when they sat down, they looked worse. They had their feet up on the pews now, and they're just like hacking it up back there, you know. And I thought, oh, I don't think I handled that right. And so I sought the Lord, and he said, and this is what I heard Patrick saying. Patrick just said, hey, I didn't know what to do with them, so I brought them up here. But this is what I heard in my head. I don't know how to help them, so I just thought if I got them close to Jesus, maybe that would work. And then I was like, oh, man, that's what was. So I'm like, oh, I get you now. So then I went and I said, hey, guys, why don't you come on up? You're invited. They came back up. I don't know why. They just did. And then I'm thinking, oh, that's still not right. Something's still not right about this. So I went over to them, and they were standing here. And I got down on my level, like their level, so I could really, really talk to them. And I said, hey, guys, I need to tell you something. Please forgive me, because I think I came off. No, I know I did. I came off really mean, and I really need you to. I apologize. I'm really sorry. And when I said that, they just like it softened. Like I could see it before my eyes. Their faces softened, and so I'm like, okay, I guess this love thing works. And so I'm like, I'm really, really, really sorry. Will you please, I need your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? And they all said, yeah, we forgive you. And then about 10 minutes later, Patrick's getting prayer because he had a bad back. And I see some of the guys were praying for him. I'm like, well, just like a half an hour ago, you guys are making fun of people for doing that. So I started targeting them in my prayers, especially two of them that were really the ones that were very mocky. And the littlest one, I even had like a few run-ins with him during the week, was a piece of work, okay? Like he just had never had, I don't think, any boundaries in his life. So there were times that he and I had a few little interactions. But we targeted them in prayer the whole time. And on the third night, I ended up having the great privilege of praying for both those brothers as they wept, like I was sitting down, so they were just weeping before me. And basically, I kind of understood how they got to this place through their family. And the one that was probably the littlest one that had the most trouble with, you know, because it takes a lot of trouble to dig, you know what I'm saying? It's not an easy thing. He actually had suffered some pretty significant things. So I had the privilege of praying with them. And then the next night, they were always, the last night, they were up front with their hands raised. So the very people that they were mocking, they were now standing next to. And the Lord taught me, we can't debate people with our theology. I can't be offended by people mocking and ridiculing me or Jesus. But love. And you know what? I would have read that story and I could say that before that happened to me personally. I'm really thankful that the Lord allowed that to happen in my life, because I didn't know that I had that chink, that I would respond like that, that I had to somehow protect God's reputation. All He wants me to do is love. Love people regardless of their condition, regardless of how offensive it was. Jesus loves dark, dreary, offensive places. I mean, He was born in a stable. Can you get any dreary and darker and stinky and offensive than that? That's what He does, His best work. Did you know when you sell a coin of great value, you know, those old coins? It's the ones that have the error on them that were worth the most. It's the one that has the mistake on it that people want to pay a lot for. I'll take a penny from the 1900s, but a penny that's like got messed, like has a misspelled word on it. Well, that like triples your money. God does His best work with, yeah, it's rare. You're right. It's absolutely rare. So what I'm asking you today, when we think about the Raiders of the Lost, is let's start with you. Where have you not seen your value and your worth, or you've looked to people to identify who you are? And if they say I'm dumb, well, I'm dumb. If they say I'm pretty, I'm pretty. If they say I'm this or that, then that's what I am. Instead of, what does Jesus say? And Jesus said, I paid it all and more. I paid everything plus more. And then be willing to go deep. Be a prospector first in your life. Dig down deep in your life and know that there'll be great fruit in it. Be willing to have the courage and the bravery to dig down deep and let God highlight those places, because there's aquamarine. There's jewels. Do you know what? Lucas now is, I stake my claim with him. I stake my claim with him because I'm going to be digging. There's rare jewels in there. There's rare jewels, and his life affects other people's lives. So my claim is staked. And not just me, PT, and a bunch of other people. We're going to be digging, because it's just not one person. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. And then the final thing, can we say in our lives that we'll be a tomb raider? That we'll be a grave robber? That we'll go into the deep, dark places of people's lives and we'll help pull them out? That we'll find the hidden treasures of the Lord? I want to be a tomb raider. I want to be a grave robber. I just want to love more. Be willing to love and be willing to be love in dark, offensive places. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't run off. Hallelujah. Let's receive that. Receive it. Receive it.
We love you, Lord.
We stake our claim, right? Stake our claim downtown.
Amen.
You think there's any jewels over in their windmill park? I think so.
Amen.
I think there's some jewels all across the city here. Will you be a prospector? Will you be one that allows the Lord to do what He wants to do in you, and then you can have that bright thing to show somebody else, look what Jesus can do. Right? By the way, I want to mention, we're not going to stop polishing jewels. We're not going to stop finding rare, rare gems. We have a whole ministry called Cleansing Stream Ministry that you just dip those precious souls in and all this junk comes off, all the dirt comes off, and all the value rises. We're not going to stop. Let's lift our heads to the Lord right now. Just praise Him with me. We receive Your voice today. Lord, earlier on, Lori mentioned that little girl. You could see the leaves moving, but you don't know how the wind's blowing. And I ask right now that each of us be led by the Holy Spirit. Not only with the inner dealings of the Holy Spirit in our own soul, but that sensitivity to being led to people in public, that we'd all be prospectors today. That we'd all see, Lord, no matter what the situation, no matter how hard it may look, no matter how dirty it might get us involved, we thank you, Lord, for your love that came down here and got us out of our hole. We just ask that you would flood our souls with such a power and dimension of your love that we would be fearless in touching the lives of those who are dug down deep in their problems. Wow. We just ask, Lord, the anointing come on us to break addiction. The anointing has come on us to destroy the works of the devil, just like on Jesus, that would break those things loose and set the captive free. Let's stand together, guys. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those needing prayer, come on up. Go ahead and grab your kids too. Hallelujah. Let's love on each other.